Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
I am unashamed. What about you?
So, Jace, you got a gift. I want to start today with, we love gifts. We get a lot of stuff. You guys are awesome.
Yeah.
Unashamed Nation. So,
well, hold on. Before we talk about the gift, I wanted to talk about what we did. We've accomplished something on this show, this podcast.
Really?
Yeah.
Usually you're the least aware of anything we do of consequence. So you don't know what number we're on. You don't know what. You've intrigued me already.
So here's what happened. I had a memory, a faint, distant memory hit me on an earlier podcast. And it was that we used to call a bank to see what time it was or what temperature. This is before technology took off. And so we talked about that. I dialed the number. Did y'all run that on when I? So they evidently, because I've never watched one of these podcasts.
Yeah.
I've only heard about it.
Well, so. I just to bring the audience back up to speed. So I remarked when you remembered the number, and you, there's no way you've called this number at least in 15 to 20 years. At least.
I would say I probably called it 7, 8, 10 years ago.
Oh, you are behind the time. I mean, yeah. Cell phones have been around since then.
Well, hey, I stay at places.
So Jace remembers the number to call and get the time and temperature, which used to be, which he's right. I mean, back in the day, that's how you knew what the temperature of the time was.
And I told the story about I used to deviate on wherever I was going to find a bank so I could see what time it was.
So
this kind of seems kind of silly now.
So we said when we did it, we said people are going to now call this number because somebody has been sleeping for the last 15 years.
So are you ready for the reveal?
So what happened?
We shut it down. You can no longer call that number. The red phone went off. Somebody said, "We've made contact. There's a human out there that
needs
is calling
to know the time of temperature."
And they had a meeting, and they no longer offer that service. So now here's what I'm excited about. What's next? What can we do?
What else can we destroy that's been around for 30 or 40 years?
I would just say, regarding time, Chicago was right. Not the city of Chicago, but
the band,
the singers. Does anybody really know what time it is? I would just simply say, if you count time like I do, mid-morning, after dinner,
About dark. It's
just
late.
Before daylight.
Middle of the night.
I just think it improves your mental health. You're not really tied down to minutes.
So do you remember the last time you
plus,
called?
I mean, I don't know. I've never heard of a man, which Jace, he would be that time, driving around, find some bank, losing time to see what time it is.
Can you really lose it, though?
No.
Do you remember the last time you called the bank line to find out the time and temperature?
Yeah. No.
Well, I was just surprised that the power of Unashamed Nation rose up and we just shut that down.
So the question is, how many listeners? Because I just had this in my mind when this went out that it was just too tempting to not call it to check it because we said the number on the air. And so I'm just wondering how many of you out there actually.
So the number is still there.
The number's still there because look.
Well, now, though, you call it and it's.
you have reached a number that has been disconnected.
I'll tell you this. I got an idea on what we can attack next.
All right, what's next?
Here's what's next. Because this morning, when I was checking, is that my phone?
Oh, it's just beeping and bopping. Keep going.
When I was checking the status of the stocks this morning after morning prayers, so I got my priorities right, Phil.
That's right. Always pray before
we start. All of a sudden, my TV starts flickering, and it went, and this thing popped up on the screen that I've seen pop up many times through the years. It said, "This is only a test. This is the emergency broadcasting." So you say, what's my point? Now, that happened this morning. Whatever day it is today, it's sometime in November. That happened. So I'm like, I started thinking about every time I've had an emergency at my house, which has only been a couple times. But we had a hurricane come through. Hurricane force winds. This is now time for the emergency broadcast to function. And guess what? Power was out. TV was out. So why are we doing this test every 3 days when an actual emergency happens
and nothing happens?
We can't see it. So why are we interrupting the program to show what would happen in an emergency when every emergency that I've been through, we didn't have the capability to do what you're testing? So let's shut that down next.
So you want to shut down the emergency broadcast system?
No, I want to shut down the testing of it every 2 days when the odds are in our favor that we won't be able to see that because we have no power.
When you need it, it's not there.
So let's do this. Let's test it once a year.
It's living in a world with computers. Everybody trusts them, but there's constantly friction, and they don't know how to go this and this.
It reminds
me. I asked the computer guru.
You almost said freak, but you pulled short. Joe. I just want to thank
mellow.
You for that.
He's Jersey mellow. Joe looked around. He found himself and his wife and children surrounded in New Jersey by a maniac world. And he basically looked at his wife and said, "Let's get out of here." So they packed their grip.
And they came to Louisiana.
And they came to Louisiana partly because of what they had heard us talk. And they said, that's the way I want to think.
Yep. Yeah.
So when it comes to time, he said, oh, look. I said, what's the problem when people have computers? What you're a troubleshooter. They all call him. If you got trouble with computer, call this dude. Mm-hmm. He sit there by our computer all day. And the phone, then the computer, they give him a buzz. And he said, I said, what's the biggest problem with computers? Because all I need is on, off, turn the lights on, turn the lights.
You don't, you're not.
And anyway, he said, human error is the problem with all computer maladies. It's human error.
But you realize
99.9 is the way he put it.
But Phil,
people don't know how to run the machine they're seated in front of, and therefore he comes in to line them out. He said, they curse me. Caress me, call me, everything on the book when I'm telling them this. No, here's what you need to do. What you did was you made a mistake when you clicked on the ba, 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 ba. And he said, they curse me. They say I'm a no good, filthy language. He said,
Phil, everything in the computer, the reason human error is the number one problem is everything in a computer, a human put in there.
Yeah.
And humans are good at making errors.
Right. So you're always going
to
have it.
Well, I've made it my goal to make it through life computer free, as close as I can get.
So far, if we're keeping up, number one, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's Hebrews 13:8. So that should take care of the time calling to see what time it is.
That's good. I like that.
Okay. Number two, we all make errors.
Yeah.
So God's grace is looking more appealing.
Okay. So what's your third point?
Well, I have shades on today because I'm not trying to be cool.
I thought you were trying to go dad.
No.
Dad wears shades since
I'm actually, you know, I'm a fisherman. I was raised on the water. Phil trained me how to fish and always had sinus problems as a kid, and I never could figure out why. Until later on in life, I realized that I'm allergic to the slime that is produced off of a scaled fish. Now, I can eat the fish, but if I touch the slime and get it near any kind of orifice. I'm in trouble for a couple of days.
That's good to know.
So I was catching these huge crappie in a pond near me that will remain.
Boy, here we go again.
Unnamed. I mean, huge. I have a picture. Maybe we can show that. Can we do that? I caught just a giant yesterday. So I catch the fish. I go over there. I clean them. But as I'm cleaning them, I realize there's a small hole in my glove. So I thought, I need to make a note of that and not rub my eyes later. So I washed my hands real good. I thought I had taken care of it. But at some point in there, I must have just got it near my eye or nose.
Well, something gave me a runny nose, and you notice my voice is.
Yeah, I thought you were trying out for the Oak Ridge Boys or something.
Yeah, but what happened was there was a sequence of events which I haven't seen in so many years. This dates way back. I had never had a runny nose.
Yeah, I measure mine by hours.
All right.
Every few hours.
I'm experiencing what you say you have a trouble with all the time. I actually have a runny nose. Yep. And a lower voice.
Yep. Moved into the voice box.
And
you know what that means.
Miss K caught
winter
it first.
Winter is here.
But she gave it to me, and I said, well, so I'm on about the third day. Well, I'm feeling much better
what
now.
What am I going to do?
And you're probably going to give it to us. So winter's
but
here.
But I live with it. So
and we're, what are we, a couple weeks away from duck season?
We're actually, duck season is this Saturday.
This Saturday. Yeah, this is
once again.
A few days,
remembers the bank number, but doesn't.
A few
know
days from
Jace, while you're watching the internet unfold this morning.
Oh, here we go.
Your dad was down there
scouting
putting diesel in a tractor that has a Pungo pump on it, pumping water. That's pumping about 1,500 gallons a minute. Then I have another one that's been running around the clock. We have now transferred the flow. Instead of below the middle levee, we're backing it up into the privet hole. And the dog water's still running, so by day after tomorrow, the water regime, the blind regime, and the food regime, those things, three things, which I sort of head up. You say those three things will be complete.
All come together.
Well, be nice to me, because one of our listeners sent me a gift. I guess we had talked about this before.
Must have been early on the podcast.
We used to build fires in the duck blind, and one of our members of our party, old Mac Owen, he would fix biscuits every day of duck season. And I guess we talked about that.
And we'd have nestled in between the biscuits, we would furnish
Mayhaw
the jelly, muscadine, blackberries, dewberries.
Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure who makes this, but they found one. This listener did. Who is this? I can't even read.
I think
that.
It's Brandon.
You cook biscuits over an open fire.
Brandon Nash said he listened to the podcast. He heard that. But he backed up. Instead of following along with the podcast, he went backwards.
Which is so funny because he heard this, I think, early on. He said he's on 170.
He's Brandon, on 177.
So Brandon, you're going to hear about this in about a year.
Yeah.
You're going to hear your name mentioned about it.
That's why I said, what is the over under on whether he catches up before the second coming of Jesus?
That's right. But he sent us this biscuit maker.
Yeah.
Sent it to you.
And so we'll use that this year in your honor because I love these.
But
things.
The timing could not have been better because it came the week before duck season started.
The week before duck season.
Which was
so
incredible.
I wanted to.
That was a nice gift because you can put that at a certain heat on these Cajun cookers we have.
Right.
They're the best. And just a low fire, you put a little butter in there and wash them in the butter a little bit.
And it's a can of biscuits.
Put your canned biscuit, wrap biscuits, hit them, and they poof, and you put them in there. Then you just turn them over about every 4 or 5 minutes, let them brown on both sides, and they just...
I'm gonna reach out to Mac, because I'm coming Saturday, so I'm gonna reach out to Mac and find out if there was any little secrets, because his were always perfect.
Well, he had the right amount of time. What I'm going to do is I'm going to bring this out at Christmas because, at this point, nobody knows what to get me and my family. And so this is good.
Yeah.
So I'm going to use this as a Christmas present.
Oh, well, there you go.
Yeah, I'm going to tell to yourself. It's like, look, something like this.
Yep.
These are the gifts that keep on
So we have a little heat in the blind. It does get cold in Louisiana, 25.
It's usually a little while. But
be a little freeze from time to time.
We're definitely
we have hot biscuits around the clock, so it's a pretty good deal.
You can't beat it. Let's take our first break. So standing up for what you believe in can be challenging, especially in today's culture. And so one of our sponsors is a group called Patriot Mobile, and they are the only really Christian conservative provider for your cell phone coverage. And so you want to maybe check these guys out because everything that they support are things most of our audience probably supports. And so they offer broad nationwide coverage. They use the same towers as all the major carriers. They have plans to fit any budget. Their 100% U.S.-based customer support team provides exceptional customer support. So they share values of religious freedom, constitutional rights, and sanctity of life. Check them out. If you want to make the switch, patriotmobile.com/Phil, or you can call them at 972-PATRIOT. Get free activation with the offer code Phil. So it's patriotmobile.com/Phil, or give them a call, 972-PATRIOT. So we've got a guest that has been patiently waiting, listening. I'm going to ask him what he thinks about what he just heard, our lead in.
I don't think it was earth-shattering.
It wasn't like something to call home about.
I think us shutting down the time and temperature is a moment in the history of mankind where we've now moved into a new technological age. Where dinosaurs are dying all around us, and we help contribute to that, Phil.
So Harold Cronk is with us. Harold is the author of the Beard Ballad, which we talked about on last week. Harold, we mentioned this on the podcast, and then Zach wound up getting you on today, which is great. So Dad talked a little bit about that. So we'll talk about the book in just a minute. But first of all, so you've been listening to this, what we call our cold open. What's your take on the opening montage of the Unashamed podcast? Is it the life changing, earth shattering beginning that you hope for?
Well, let me tell you guys, today is a very special day in Michigan. And I don't know what Zach was thinking me putting me on today, but today is the opening day of firearm deer season in Michigan. So for some reason, I'm not in a blind.
Oh.
Where I should be with that biscuit maker right there making some biscuits.
Yeah. Well, see, we like you already, Harold. No wonder we were able to do this book with you. You're like me. So I was supposed to be in Texas speaking Saturday, which is opening day of duck season here. For the last 5 years, I've been somewhere on the road on opening day, and thankfully, the Lord opened the door for a postponement to next spring, so I'm going to be able to hunt. So,
well, I'll tell our man here, Gronk, right?
Crunk. He's been calling
Crunk
you Gronk because we.
Add the G, but Crunk, I'll give you this: your book is made manifest on what you're seeing. What he was discussing in the book.
Yeah,
it's what he is seeing because you have a father and two sons.
Correct.
Bearded sons. And we seem to have following the Jesus Christ way.
We bonded.
We just bonded. And it seems to have worked out because we're sitting here, a little conversation about life itself and about duck blinds and all that, you say. But we're living proof that Crunk was right on his book.
That's right. So let's talk about it, Harold. So tell me a little bit about kind of what was the idea behind the book? It's really interesting. It's a children's book. You know, Dad read it to a group at our church, and he told the story. One of the kids must have been from PETA or something because she was shocked that Dad was going to kill animals. But she
had not been trained by her father that the harvesting of animals is biblical. And she fell back on the floor. She said, oh, no, I love animals and y'all are shooting them. And I said, but we love animals too, fried.
Oh, boy.
So she went, oh, no.
She's probably going to be in a counselor in front of a counselor day, and it's going to go back to that moment.
We
the
got
reading
her
of The Beard Ballad by Phil Robertson.
So thank you, Harold, for putting this small child into therapy. Tell us a little bit about kind of your idea behind the book, where did it come from and all that?
Yeah, well, first, Phil, I'm so thankful that you were able to write the foreword for this thing. It's a project that it kind of came about in a very honest way. I picked up my son one day and gave him a big nuzzle hug, and he pushed me away and said, "Dad, your face is all pokey and rough." And I said, "Those are my ferocious facial follicles." And and in that moment, kind of the idea was born. So I have this amazing coffee shop that I write in every day. I'm obviously a film director, and I write screenplays. So I came to write that next morning, and this book just poured out of me. And, you know, I recently lost my dad to Alzheimer's, I guess, you know, going on 2 years ago now. And I just started recalling all of the things that my dad taught me growing up in Northern Michigan, all the wonderful things that that he shared with me. And I thought, man, I think I took for granted what an amazing man he was, and all this wonderful knowledge that he passed on. And so I wanted to do something for kids where, you know, look, I've wanted to read to my son at night, but it's difficult to find books that aren't affirming and aren't manly and things that I want to teach my son. So I thought, why not just write it? And so this is what happened.
Yeah, I love it. And in fact, I think, Carol, that it's one of the missing ingredients in our culture right now is just, you know, good God-affirming masculinity. And, you know, because of so many other things, whether it's gender bending to, you know, not knowing who your dad is and being raised by your grandmother. I mean, there's so many different, you know, cultures within cultures that don't have this. And so I think as many tools as possible that help people understand that, the better, right?
Absolutely. And sorry, like I said, I'm in a coffee shop. So somebody apparently is getting a latte right now.
Oh, you're in a coffee shop.
He's in a coffee shop.
He's in his. I was looking around thinking,
I think he's got a bearing loose on the rear end.
That's all right. Because we're literally right next door, right outside our door, is where we keep all our hunting equipment.
A sound like that, and we say, call Jimmy Red.
Call Jimmy Red. Somebody got a bearing loose. So here's the deal, Harold. So when I saw your name on the book, I was like, that name sounds so familiar. So I did what anybody except for dad would do. I Googled your name, and I realized that not only are you an author of books, but as you just said a minute ago, you are a maker of movies, really good movies. Our audience is going to be aware of that before I was, that you did Guy's Not Dead, and the sequel to that as well, right? And that involved some of our family. So what was it like? So you worked with Willie and Corey and Sadie?
Yeah. Willie and Corey on God's Not Dead 1 and then Sadie on God's Not Dead 2. And it was kind of interesting. On God's Not Dead 1, I meet Willie for the first time. I'm like, hey, man, I just want you to know that in your honor, I started growing my facial hair out for the shoot because I didn't want to be embarrassed and show up clean shaven the first time we met. And he looked at me, and I had about 2 days worth of peach fuzz. And he says, man, that's pathetic. I thought we're going to get along just great.
That's right. So, welcome to the Robertson.
but great experience working with Willie and Corey on God's Not Dead 1. And then Sadie was just fantastic in God's Not Dead 2. She was a natural without a lot of training as far as acting goes. She really brought a wonderful authenticity to that role and to that film. So I'm very thankful and blessed to have had her as part of the cast for that movie.
Well, we just want to say thank you for making great movies. You also did Path to Redemption, Unbroken Path to Redemption. And that was really interesting to me because I had loved the first film, Unbroken, about Louis Zamperini. But you took the next step by showing, you know, his spiritual awakening that, of course, wasn't in the first movie. And so I thought it was really interesting. My old pal, Will Graham, got to play his grandpa, Billy Graham, in the movie, which was a really cool twist because, you know, that's what led him to accept Christ was at a Billy Graham crusade back in the day. So how was that experience in that movie?
You know, that was an incredible experience, and getting to meet Will and getting to know Will, such a great guy, you know, just a wonderful man. And we actually just exchanged texts a couple of days ago. He's still waiting for me to buy a motorcycle so I can go on a road trip with him. But I don't know if my mom's going to let me do that.
Yeah.
Because she doesn't like motorcycles.
That's pretty much what was our rule growing up, too. Dad was like, no motorcycles, boys, ever.
Somebody said, why? And I said, it'll fall over. Not enough Phil tires. Say,
not enough wheels.
Not enough wheels. It'll fall over. Don't get on it, but.
Unbroken was it was a great experience. Louis Zamperini had this amazing life journey, and people always ask me what's the difference between, you know, Angelina's Unbroken and then the second one. And for me, it's the first film was about Louis' struggle for survival, but the second film was about Louis' struggle for his soul and battling the demons of PTSD and alcoholism. And man, his. For me, there's not a better illustration that no matter where you're at in your life, if you make that turn to the light, if you turn to the Lord and you accept your sins and you confess your sins, there's always hope for you no matter where you're at.
That's great. And you're right. I mean, as amazing as his story was, overcoming being in a, you know, being a POW camp, the idea is what next? Because we know a lot of guys that survive a lot of difficult things. But if you don't have something bigger than that, then you're going to wind up in a place that's probably going to be very dark. And so, I mean, unfortunately, it happens all the time with a lot of our vets. And so that's why it's so important to, you know, for anybody to understand how powerful Christ is. So how do folks get the book, Harold? So tell them where to go.
Beardballad.com, and it's also available on Amazon.
Excellent.
I have an idea for your next book. I met a kid at an event the other night, and I said, when you grow up, are you going to have a beard like this? Because he was just staring at it. And he's like, well, that's why I have the mullet now. Because he did. He had just full-blown mullet. And he said, my mom hates it. But I told her I can't have the beard. So the next best thing is a mullet. I said, I don't know. But you could have mullet memoirs.
There you go.
Okay.
And that could be a now you start a whole series of
I'll write the foreword, and we'll do some capture some of the most manly mullets in the history of
there's the title right there, just manly mullets.
Manly mullets.
Mullet.
So look, it just happened on Unashamed Nation, Harold. We're gonna hold Jace to it. He is offered to write the foreword if you write that book. So we'll have to see if that works out.
Awesome.
Yeah. Hey, man, thank you for being with us and everything you do. You're doing great work for the kingdom. We appreciate it. And, man, you just keep growing that beard and keep raising your boy.
Sounds good. Thanks, guys. Hey, and I do have one. Can you guys see me?
Yep.
Yeah.
I got one thing to show you.
Right.
I'm a proud uncle. This is my nephew's butt that he got
That doesn't
about
look
three
real.
Days ago.
Oh, my goodness.
We don't have deer that size down in here.
We got swamp deer down here, Harold.
So, awesome. So you guys should come to Michigan. And Jace, the other thing is, in Michigan, we have wonderful trout that don't have slime.
Oh, really?
No, that's not true. But I want you to come up fishing.
Sounds like a road trip. Yeah.
There's always a pair of gloves. Just make sure they don't have a hole in them.
That's right.
All right. Thank you, Harold. Appreciate you being with us.
Appreciate you guys.
All right. Take care. All right. Let's take another break. We couldn't really have a podcast, Jace, without talking about hair, which actually we've been talking about a lot lately because of beard books and everything, mullets and all the different kinds of hair. So what happens to the guy who realizes that he's losing his hair?
He needs some help.
He needs some help. And so one of our longtime sponsors is a company called Keeps. And what they do is try to help you keep your hair. So if you're starting to lose it, you got to get to these guys pretty early. They can't regrow your hair, but they can help you keep what you already have. They've got 5-star reviews, more than any of the competitors. You can go online. They have a licensed doctor who's going to review all your info, recommend the right hair loss treatment for you. And then it ships straight to your door. So it's a great company. Check them out if you need their help. Keeps, KEEPS.com/door. You're going to get 50% off your first order. So it's keeps.com/door, keeps.com/door. Well, that was fun. Harold's, he seems like a good guy. And I didn't realize he was such a hunter, but that's impressive.
I figured.
No wonder.
Oh, in Michigan, there's like 700,000 deer hunters that go after a deer on the opening day. 700,000.
Plus, they just grow big ones. That one eagle right there is huge. That's,
I mean, they are some. They're up in big woods.
Right. You know what's amazing is, I mean, there's people writing books on beards, and we talk about them, and they're doing what they do on their own.
Yeah, you don't have to just kind of let it go, right?
Wasn't an idea. This is happening. But somebody at some point in the history of mankind said, look, we need to be a civilized society. And that means you need to shave this hair growing off your face.
Well, you probably don't remember this, Jace, but back in the day when we were putting out so much stuff when the show was going on, we actually did a children's book. Mom did one, something about a duck, like duck starts with D maybe or something. And then we did one called Everything's Better with Beards.
Yeah, I remember that.
And it had pictures of like the Statue of Liberty with a beard and blah, blah, blah.
Well, I'll give you the list just in case you've lost it somewhere. It keeps your face warm, which in the wintertime, awesome.
Yep.
It is a deterrent it's basically acts like a windshield.
Correct.
For limbs, bugs.
If you're in an open ATV or in a boat, you can tell the difference with a beard.
I've had black widow spiders on my body.
Plural?
Looking for somebody to sting.
Were you in a cave?
It's a terrible. And look, and I feel him moving, and I look down, be a black widow. He's on my whiskers. He wants to get through to the skin, but he has a layer of whiskers to get through.
Yeah.
Slap him a couple times.
Did your heart rate go up during this encounter?
It did.
Oh, okay.
Because you see that little red hourglass.
I had something yesterday that crawled out of my beard. I'd been in the woods, and I'd been over, and I was in a thicket.
How many people lead with that statement?
And I was getting mud out of a thicket and putting it down on the beaver dam to keep my water from leaking. And when I got home, not realizing that I had carried this, I don't know what you call this thing. Look,
UFO.
There was two of them.
To the audience, he's holding here about a 4-inch
one was tied to the other one, a smaller one and then a big one. And this thing was about roughly that long. I would say had a kind of a grasshopper look about him, but not a grasshopper. I don't know what this thing was, but he was some kind of insect that came out of those weeds. And I felt something, and I tried to knock him. He said, what are you doing? I said, because she was standing in front of me. I said, something was crawling on me. And I looked on my sleeve like that. And he was just like that. With another one riding piggyback on him.
Were they mating,
I looked down. I said, come here, let me show you something.
She
said, what was it? I said, come over here, let me show you. When she walked up and saw that thing, she said, good night. She said, don't let him bite you. I mean, it was...
And
I knocked him down on the floor, stomped him. Both
here's
of
what
them.
I think. Well, I don't guess it matters since it resulted.
Threw him in a trash can.
Yeah, in death.
Now, whether he could have stung me or whatever, it wasn't a grasshopper. It was some kind of, I don't know what it was. I never had seen a varmint like that.
Something new.
I think him and his lady.
He came out of my whiskers.
Him and his lady friend mistakenly thought your beer was a nice bed.
Soft,
yeah,
a nice soft Spanish moss bed.
The weeds were as thick as my whiskers.
Yeah.
So between the two of them, I came out with this varmint. He went all the way home with me.
I was going to say.
I drove a mile with him in the pickup. He's back there, but he had just appeared. I'm sitting on the chair.
He was obviously distracted with his young lady friend.
Well,
imagine his surprise when he was transported 5 miles away.
But the whiskers got in the way of his travels.
So
beards are.
So to your point, it is an insect and apparently spider shield.
Well, and it's great camouflage. It is a all kind of criminal behavior deterrent for happening to you because other people with not so nice intentions when they see a person like Phil, the last thing they want to do is have any kind of confrontation with him whatsoever.
Yeah, well, you know, the Warm Springs who filmed us at one time, remember Warm Springs?
Yeah, the old
They're doing that mountain man thing now, but if you notice, all those guys are up there. I mean, they're trappers, hunters, but you notice every one of them has whiskers because when they're talking to you, their beards are solid ice.
Yeah.
I mean, just solid ice. It's 20 below zero.
Where is that at? In Montana or someplace? Where do they film?
Most of it Montana, okay. The mountains
but I've been
in Alaska.
Like that. When yeah. I hunt in Kansas and
those
all
those guys, you know, you say, you ask them about whiskey and they'd say, what are you talking about? You got to have them.
Yeah.
I mean, 25 degrees below zero and they're just on a snowmobile with their traps, you know, and they're catching a lot of varmints. But I mean, But it's a rough life. But they got whiskers for a reason.
It wasn't your idea.
No.
This
one of our listeners' dad said that we needed to have one of those guys on. I think, and I looked him up. He's retired now. I don't think he's on the show anymore. But they were like, I just want to hear a conversation. I wish I had his name between this man and Phil Robertson.
Yep.
They were
about
like
beards.
Well, just about anything. Apparently, this guy is just a, you know,
well, the,
like dad, the like last born 100 years too late kind yep. of guy.
The last thing I'll say is it also is a time and money saver because you basically do nothing and you spend nothing.
I think
well,
it's as
true.
Simple.
It's
as simple as this. For some reason, our culture, with all their sexual sins and all, but one of the ways they try to punish and thwart manhood is via the whiskers. To them, this says manhood. They don't like that at all. They're effeminate.
I think people equate it with insanity too. You know, when you see somebody with unkept, they'll call it unkept facial hair. They'll think, oh, he's probably crazy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure where, why.
They just tagged it that way.
Well, because sometimes in our culture, y'all would know this, but people that just sort of let themselves go may be a little crazy. So yeah. Maybe that's where they're going to put. Let's take another break. So one of our newer sponsors is a group called Dwell. And I had never heard of it before, but it's a Bible app. And it's inspired by the psalmist's command to hide the word of God into our hearts. Of course, right off the bat, that got my attention as I was like, this is something we need for our podcast. And so what it is, Dad, for those that don't have a Bible, you know, like you do, a lot of people now, the young people, they use their phone or computer, you know, for the Word of God, and which is great. I mean, that's one of the good things you can use the internet for is to be able to have this or have an app. And so it's a read-along experience is what this is. And it's really, they have it laid out where you can read through the Bible, really well done. And here's how you get started. If you want to check them out, to go to Dwell, you go to Dwell App, DWELLAPP, dwellapp.io/unashamed. You're going to get 10% off a yearly subscription or a 33% off Dwell for life. So that's 33% off, which saves you $50. So check them out, dwellapp.io/unashamed. Commit to the scripture for the rest of the year and the rest of your life.
I'll take that as a compliment.
But duck hunting, if you didn't have whiskers during duck season, when that north wind is hitting you in the face and it's sleeting or raining or snowing, trust me when I tell you that whiskers help a lot.
Well, we're down here on what we would call the balmy end of the 48.
That is correct.
You go up where Kronk is from, you get up in Michigan and all that. We're talking about rivers that freeze over for like months.
You are correct.
So it's a pretty rough.
It's like we're going to climb mountains, you know, we're going to show you we can climb to the top of a mountain, snow covered hills, but you notice every one of them that do that, they have big beards.
That's exactly right, to protect it. So yesterday, Jase, you missed my sermon because you were at the movies or whatever you did.
the church I went, they had at the movies, and okay. they take which they don't have many to choose from. But they'll take movies with a spiritual theme, and they kind of do a thing. They do it every year.
I bet they've done one of Harold's movies before, because
I mean, maybe so. Yeah. I don't know. Well, the one they did was Wonder, and which it was, I was a wreck after that because it goes along with what happened in my daughter's life. Because
mm-hmm.
the kid in the movie Wonder, which if you haven't seen it, you need to watch that. Had craniofacial yeah. issues. I think he had 25 or 27 surgeries or whatever. But they kind of looked at Hollywood, kind of looked at it from how he looked and the fitting in when he was about in junior high, which is the toughest time for that with a kid. But there's so much more of that story, the day-to-day workings of trying to get your kid with this condition to breathe better, eat better, just have a more comfortable life and dealing with this problem with all the surgery. So, yeah, it was tough, but it was good. But I hate I missed your sermon.
Well, so what I was going to say was, I dealt with Matthew 17 and 18, which is where we're at in our text. I did both those chapters in one sermon, which was interesting to get that done. But in the open, Jays, you would have liked this. So I feel like I need to give it to you because you would have appreciated it had you been there. I had tuned in the week before to watch Dad on the live stream because I was in Austin. So I'm listening to our live stream host. It was Rucker and Chris Howard, Corey's mom. They were the live stream host. We have a host every Sunday. They talk, you know, they interact with people and kind of tell what we're doing that day. So the subject of my vest that I, because I've kind of, that's my look now. I mean, I call it my man girdle.
And what is the deal with the vest?
I just started wearing them.
We need an intervention on
it. I started wearing them because it kind of helps, you know, hold in everything. And so I like them. So anyway, they brought it up, you know, and Rucker was, you know, giving me a little jazz about the vest. So Chris Ann, who's a dear old friend, she's my next door neighbor. We've known each other for, you know, 40 years. And she said, well, he could, because Rucker said he needs to wear an alligator vest. And she said, well, he can't wear an alligator vest because he needs them expandable. You know, talking about my girth.
Do they make vests out of alligators?
I don't think so. But, you know, Rucker, what does he know?
But and what does that mean, alligator?
Well, he was like, he needs to do something. He needs to bling it up a little bit. He was like, he's too dull with his vest. Oh. So Chris made a little tap at my weight, you know, which is funny. But Chris Howard weighs about 80 pounds and has her whole life. She's the skinniest person I know. So I was like, okay, well, I think they've opened a door for me to, you know, comment. Because since they brought up my girth, I'll bring up her lack of girth. So at the start of my sermon, Jace, I said, I'm not offended. I'm really not, because I talk about, you know, needing a expandability. I said, but I never take vest expansion advice from a person who once almost choked on a Tic Tac, which is a true story. I mean, a Tic Tac, I said, that's one skinny esophagus when you can't take down a Tic Tac. Because, of course, everybody starts laughing. Then I said, this woman has never seen her own shadow. That's how skinny she is. Yeah. She doesn't cast a shadow.
No.
She weighs 80 pounds. She wants a housekeeper made up a bed with her in it because she thought it was a wrinkle in the sheets. Yeah. That's how skinny this woman is.
Yeah.
And then my last, of course, everybody's laughing. Last one I said was that when she goes to the grocery store, she has to wait for someone to walk up to activate the glass door. In other words, it won't pick her up. And then I looked at Perky and I said, Perky, did you get that? That was a joke within a joke, because what would she be doing at the grocery store? Yeah. Of course, everybody just roared. So that was my little Chris Ann roast, Jace, at the beginning of my sermon. Then I told him, you know, I loved it. It was all done in fun. So that's what you missed at the beginning.
Well, that's pretty funny off the top of your head. So I looked up alligator vest. And,
if there is one, I might go for it.
Well, the number one search for that is, what do you call an alligator in a vest?
I don't know.
An investigator.
That reminds me of old Saturday Night, the Saturday Night Live.
Investigator.
That reminds me of a Saturday Night Live skit when the guy said he was Jesse Jackson. He was talking about Jesse Jackson. Jesse Jackson said, not only do I deny the allegations, I deny the alligator.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's funny. Pretty funny.
Speaking of that, there's one. Water is down in a section over there, and I saw on the bank one lying there on the ground. And I'd say 10-footer, maybe 11, wide. I mean, this thing is a—
On our property?
Oh, yeah. Wow. He is a bull.
Yeah.
And I thought to myself, you know, it's all these weeds and thickets. I go out in there cutting that brush. I wouldn't want to run up on this thing.
And, you know, we always say, you know, no big deal. But let's take our last break. We always, because, you know, they're pretty docile. You rarely see them attack somebody. But just I was watching.
Lying on the ground.
I was watching a video the other day of some guy in Brazil. And I don't know if it was one of our alligators or a crocodile. But look, he's just swimming out there. And all of a sudden, you see that thing look like a torpedo. And, I mean, he took a big chunk out of his arm. And I thought, well, it does happen because I saw it on video.
Yeah, I just thought about my Labrador retrievers retrieving
the
ducks.
That's exactly right.
I mean, you know, you got ducks lying around for the gators and you got your dog going after your duck. I mean, it could not end well.
That's exactly right. So, anyway, that was the lead into my sermon. But my sermon was actually about this text. And we only have a few minutes left. But, Jason, I thought we would revisit kind of where we left off last time, which was the end of Matthew 17 about the temple tax, because I had made the point at the end of my sermon that Jesus is really the ultimate point of that whole thing was that he's greater than the temple and all that. He was making a point that, you know, the son is greater than whatever they're trying to do. But the way he went about getting the money for the tax, which I thought was funny. Of course, I had
some. What I do as a treasure hunter, it was awesome.
Right.
Because you can sense the excitement of that process of finding some lost coins, which I got one of these when I was in Greece. I was looking for some of these drachma coins.
Yep.
And they said they're real cheap. And so I'm like, so I had the missionary there. He's like, "Well, I'll take care of you." I said, "Well, I want the 4 drachma because of this story here."
Did he actually get one?
Well, he said, next time I'm in the U.S., I'll.
So I made the point.
There's a law about, you know, taking money out.
Oh, I got you. So I made the point, Jace, that Jesus, I mean, he's the creator. We've already seen that he can take bread and fish and multiply a small amount to feed thousands of people. So he can create matter. So I said, he could have just said, when Peter asked him about the tax, he could have just reached in his pocket, in his robe, and pulled out the 4 drachma coin, right? Or he could have done the old reach behind your ear, you know, like the magician. Yeah. I said, "Oh, look, yeah. Peter, here's a 4 drachma that was hiding behind your ear." So I said, he could have done all that. Instead, he instructed him to go down and catch a fish, and in the mouth of the fish would be the coin. So why did he do that is the question.
I think it's just because it's just like when you're sitting around and you're like, it's like with your buddies. I just think back when I was younger, and we'd be like, "I believe these doves will be on this field," and they're like, "Ain't gonna be anything there," and you're like, "I'm telling you, it. You trust me." There's a trust that you come up with an idea. Well, this is so. It's kind of like I feel like they're sitting around. He's like, "Go down and catch the first fish, and it'll have our tax coin in there." I mean, it's like, are you going to trust him enough
to go do it?
As crazy as this story sounds, would you be willing to go do that?
Right.
So I brought up the illustration on some of the hunting ideas I've had about guys sitting around there, like things that seem, I mean, probably back in the day when I'd have these ideas about going frog hunting on a golf course, you know, I always had somebody with me. Somebody said, "As crazy as this is, I mean, they're putting us under the jail if we get caught." I mean, these fancy types.
That's right. So my question to you, Jay, so Peter's a fisherman, right? So the first fish he catches is just what Jesus told him. He opens his mouth, and there's the 4 drachma coin.
Yeah.
Being a fisherman, did he then cast again to see if he would catch another fish that had another coin in his mouth?
Probably.
He had to. I mean, who wouldn't try it? Or maybe then the third fish, because like somebody's fishing that hole trying to find that out.
I mean, some people, you know, the scholars, they say, well, he just probably was using this as an illustration or an embellishment. But I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
I think he went down there and caught the fish.
Well,
I mean, I was trying to relate. I mean, the difference would be if a guy, we go frog hunting on a golf course, and then throw in, it's like the third frog we catch will have a half dollar in his mouth that's rare and we can sell it and pay our taxes with. Now then, that's when people would say, "No, wait a minute, Jay."
You have to remember the context in all these things. You have Jesus on top of a hill, and he's brought two individuals that had been supposedly dead or gone for 2,000 years right at it. You're like, they just appear with him. And you say, so you read a text that says, now he has appeared once for all at the end of the ages. That's when Jesus just showed up 2,000 years ago, born of a virgin. He's appeared for all at the end of the ages to do away with sin by the sacrifice of himself. So he's saying we're already in the end of these ages, this time frame, when Jesus showed up. Just as man is destined to die once, and after that to face judgment, so Christ was sacrificed once to do away with sins of many people. And he will appear a second time, not to bear sin, not the next time, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. So there's two appearances. Granted, he appeared to the Apostle Paul. He made an appearance there, but that wasn't the context of what he's saying here. Is he came once to remove the sin of the earth,
right?
If they would but trust him. He's got two guys with him that's supposed to be dead or gone, bringing them back in a glorified state, like he says we'll all have.
Right.
Well, they're sitting there in the glorified state, talking with Jesus on the top of a hill. You're like, whoa. Well, both of them, there was a little consternation about, you know, Moses, God buried him. You say, well, the power at which he rolls.
Yep.
You just look at it and you say, it's a lot to digest. Mm-hmm.
I think that's why they didn't get it when he died. Because even in our world now, you see people believe in the unseen world, whether they're believers in Jesus or not. To some degree. I mean, there's a reason we have haunted houses.
Hold it right there.
I think I heard a noise.
Yeah, right. Here's the point. It was all about their trust and their faith in him as far as the resurrection goes and all.
Correct.
But you have to remember, after his first appearance, the world, within 300 to 400 years later, began to count time by this individual.
Correct.
Time. That's why the first time he appeared was to do away with the sins of the world. Well, it wouldn't be, it makes it easier for me to believe. I'm like, wait a minute here. He's coming back, but why is it we're all counting time by him? It's 2,021 years since he showed up. I'm just saying it's not as hard for me to believe. How in the world did the world end up counting time by him if he wasn't here? And if he didn't do what the prophet said he was going to do in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John.
That's why I quoted Hebrews 13:8. You'll spend the rest of your life grasping that.
Which is interesting because people do really get caught up in what we call
eschatology. You're coming back and they say, well, that's
time.
That's unbelievable. I can't believe it. Right. You say, well, why is it you're counting time by him, the countdown? And you're the ones, you're looking at your calendar, so are we.
That's why I was being sarcastic earlier when I said having a beard saves you time. It actually doesn't save you.
That's right.
That's
right.
That's the way we look at it.
You know? We look at everything, the ticking watch. That's exactly right. All right, we're out of time. We'll pick this up next
time.
We're out of time.
Thanks for listening to the Unashamed Podcast. Help us out by rating us on iTunes. And don't miss an episode by subscribing on YouTube, and be sure to click that little bell to get notified about new episodes. And for even more content that you won't get anywhere else, subscribe to Blaze TV at blazetv.com/unashamed.